Hey everyone, I'm Tima from Shades and Pages, and welcome to Brazenly Shady, your ticket to hot and unfiltered conversations about all things Black romance. Tap in, everybody. We're about to take y'all on a ride.
Well, hello, I'm Sharonda. Well, welcome to Brazenly Shady. First of all, welcome to Brazenly Shady. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now I'm Sharonda and
I'm Tima.
Don't come in here with no damn attitude.
I'm Tima, aka Shades and Pages. She might be Sharonda today, but in my head, y'all know what I'm calling her. I'm gonna let her live though.
Anyway, so as y'all know, we here to talk about some books and, of course, some bullshit. So this episode, we have two different books we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about Luca by Gray Huffington.
Yes.
And then we're going to talk about Hot Box by
Ashley Nicole.
Thank you very much, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait, I'm still due this until the end of the month, so you know.
Got that. I'm Skippy. Oh. And that's tomorrow. That's tomorrow. Damn, wait, I need to extend this. I said the end of the week.
No.
Did I say the end of the week or the end of the time?
No, you said the end of the month, okay?
Yeah.
That's what you said. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, isn't it over already?
No, it's the 31st. It's 31 days in August. Don't play.
Oh, boy. All right, so let's start off with Luca first. You want to give us a synopsis, Miss Shades and Pages?
I feel like... Okay, so Luca is book one in the... I think it's the Eisenberg series.
Yes.
So the Eisenberg effect. Sorry about that. And it's about Everett Sinclair and Luca Eisenberg.
Yes.
And this is taking place in Channing City. This is one of Gray Huffington's universe, Channing City. And it definitely is a place that I need to be living in.
You want to get there real quick?
Right there. Eva is a single mom of two kids, and she is leaving a domestic violence situation. So she just packs up her and her kids, and she ends up in Channing City spending time with her best friend, Lyric. Now, Lyric is the sister of Luca. So we start the book with Lyric going to pick up Luca because he's getting ready to get out of prison.
He coming home, y'all.
He coming home. And you know how that, like my girl Aries Reed say, fresh out D.
Yeah, fresh out of prison, D. Oh.
So they meet when she accompanies Lyric to pick him up from prison. And as you know, sparks fly. So it's like a second chance for Lyric and sort of insta love, because when Lucas spot her, he automatically knew that Lyric was going to be
ever.
She was it. Not Lyric. Sorry, because Lyric is his sister, and that would be some Game of Thrones shit. My bad. Ever, he realized that ever.
Oh, Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones catching strays right now. I'm sorry.
Catching strays.
I don't even watch Game of Thrones, but every time I'm on the timeline Twitter, they always talking about some incest.
They always talking about that shit.
Okay, I was
like, that was the most violent goddamn show ever. They love that shit until they start doing, you know, what they always do, black folks wrong on TV.
Yeah, though. I'm like, is they bumping? Like, is brothers and sisters bumping? So, yeah. So that's why I said it's some game of, but yeah, he realized that ever is, you know, is it for him. He wants her. Like, he wants to spoil her, to take care of her and them goddamn kids she got.
Oh, the babies. She had like two little kids, and from her previous situationship, because that's what I thought it was. It was wild. The man was really bad.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about, I want to talk about the friendship aspect of this story.
I love Lyric friendship.
And Ever.
I thought that was a great relationship. I love that Lyric was just down. Like, she, I like that she gave Ever her space to realize you need to come up out of that without. Like, sometimes you do want to force your friends out of that type of situation when you know they need to be out of it. But Lyric realized that Eva wasn't ready to leave. So when Eva called her and was like, I'm on my way, you know, me and the girls, like, you know, I'm going to need for you to pick me up. And Lyric was like, I was just waiting on you, bitch.
Yeah.
I was just waiting on you.
No judgment, just patience and, you know, grace and empathy, and I like that about it. And she really held her down, gave her money, gave her some place to stay, let the kids run around like that was their house. And I really loved how Gray Huffington portrayed the Black woman friendship in this story. It was very, very supportive, and I feel like, you know, she was an amazing friend.
She was. And I think, like, just to go back on what you said, I love, like, with a lot of Black romances now, where, like I said previously, I love that we're starting to see more positive relationships between Black women being written on page. You know, it's not always that jealous, petty, you know, bitches fighting and pulling out each other hair type shit. You know, we're starting to see more positive relationships between Black women. And that's a good thing. Lyric was the kind of friend, like Tama said, she had no judgment. Whenever was ready to go, she was like, you know, you ready to go, I'm here. And it was no judgment. It was no saying, I told you so. It was none of that shit. She was just like, here's a stack. No, here's a band. You know, you got a place to stay until you get your own. And it was good. And it was crazy because Ever was trying to get herself away from that. And Lyric was like, nah, we not doing that. Like, you need help and I'm gonna give you this help. So it was really good to see that on page, especially like a freshly new single mom coming out of that type of situation, literally nowhere to fucking go. And she could have went to her mom or her stepfather's house, but she already knew that fool was going to beat it, even though the stepdaddy was like, I got something for his ass.
Yeah, I like that too. I like how the stepdaddy was down and the mom was like, everybody knew. They really had her back, you understand? Yeah. And it was one of those situations where she was with an asshole and everybody really supported her. So I like that. This book had Insta love.
Luca pretty much made up his mind that Ever and her kids were his family. Like, that was going to be his wife and those were going to be his daughters. And that was pretty much it. He wasn't trying to hear nothing else. I mean, this pretty much was an instant hookup, an instant love. They was like that.
Yeah. And another thing I liked about this story is that even though Luca was coming out of prison for protecting his sister Lyric. And I think we're going to get more of that background story in Lyric stories next. But I liked that Luca came out of prison, but this story wasn't really based solely on just talking about him coming out of prison. It's like he got out and people mentioned it randomly, but it wasn't the main focus of the story. It was like, he came out of prison and was like, he really bossed up. Like, I didn't see the struggle, you know? There was no struggle. And not that I wanted to see the struggle, but you know how sometimes when you have these books and they're talking about somebody that's just getting out of prison, they always got to account for the struggle.
It's so much focus getting on back the struggle. On their feet. That's a real life thing, you know. People get out of prison and they do have a hard time making out, but the thing with Luca going in, he already had shit before he went in, so when he came out it was an easy, you know, it was an easy transition for him. But yeah, like Tama said, it wasn't on page that, you know, it was just like all this, just like, oh, you know, like what was
shit they had though, like what shit they have, because there wasn't really detail. Like, I'm guessing it was, you know, street pharmacist related. But was it though? Like,
it was what?
street pharmacist related.
Oh, well, I was trying to figure out too, because I was like, well, what was the
brother taking care of? And we didn't go into detail
why he was locked up, because I was like, what was they doing? It was, you know, they was doing, you know, what was it? Was it like,
because when he came out, the house was significantly bigger than he assumed. He had this big ass truck available, and I'm like,
so what was y'all doing?
That's
what I wanted to know. I was like, okay, so what's up?
Hey, you should have put that on page for me. And just because I nosy, because I just wanted to know. It was just straight nosiness for me.
Like, literally. Was it a family business? Like, what was that?
It was a family business, all right.
Yeah, because I was like, so how y'all get this? I mean, especially like Lyric was selling houses and stuff, but for her to just hand Eva a band of money, I was like,
she was the accountant for the family businesses, right?
She was a realtor, but I think, yeah, she probably was the accountant for the family, and she was packing her own heat too. So
yeah,
we just gonna leave it at family business.
I'm gonna leave it at
but I really did want,
we're all in this together.
I want to know what the family do. And it seemed like everybody knew what the family knew, but we ain't know what the family did.
This book was very, very, for me personally, soft and uncomplicated. Like, it really had no drama. It was just
literally
vibes.
Yeah.
Luca knew what he wanted. And when I tell you, he went after what he wanted, and he was intentional with everything that he did. He wanted to have Evers back. I was about to say Lyric. God damn it. He wanted to have Evers back, and
it was pretty much, yeah, it was an uncomplicated story. What we pretty much saw on page was Ever leaving this abusive relationship and trying to get her life back on track, you know, being a single mom and, you know, trying to take care of her daughters and stuff. And we see where Luca comes in, and it's pretty much like, you don't have to do all of that. Like, I'm here. Not in the sense of he went in there to save her or anything, but he was pretty much letting her know, like, once they hooked up, he was like, shit, you it for me. Like, and that was it.
He really wanted to make the load that she had easier to bear.
And I like that.
Laundry, car, like, this is what I need in my life. Like,
I mean,
strong man, come in and just take all this pressure out of my back. Please just
make it easy, child.
Make it easier for me. And Lyric struggled with that. And I think it has something to do with her previous relationship where they was married, right? Where
they were married, but he pretty much wasn't there. She said that, like, she had to do everything by herself. He pretty much just, like, she did everything. He pretty much didn't have no hands in and helping her raise the money, anything like that. So it was hard for her to set that help from Luca, because it was just like,
she was like, what do you want? What's the price? You know, what's the price? Yeah. And it's like, she, he monitored the money though. He monitored the money that he gave.
That's how he kept her trapped in. That's how he kept her trapped in a marriage. Which a lot of men do. They manipulate women with money. They offer them this, you know, this lifestyle, you know, you don't have to work, you're going to be a stay-at-home mom, you're going to have all this, you know, you're going to have the nice house, you're going to have the luxury car, all these things. So he was holding her hostage with money, and he figured she was never going to leave. But it got so bad she had to leave, because then he started taking his frustrations out on the oldest daughter, and she was like, yeah, no, you can't do that. And once she noticed that, she was like, yeah, I can't do this no more. And she just up and left one night. He went to work and she packed their shit as much as she can and two suitcases and she left. But it was good that she had family and she had friends that she can go to and knew that she was going to be okay, you know, without anybody like questioning her or anything like that. So that was a good thing.
Yeah, I liked it. I really enjoyed the story.
I enjoyed the storyline. Now, the only thing that kind of like did not work for me in this book was so as Tamer said, this book is heavy with domestic violence, and there's actually a scene on page where the husband catches up with her And that scene is brutal. It is on page. Yeah. It is brutal. Like, we are reading him, like, pretty much beating the brakes off this lady, okay? So that should have been a trigger warning.
Content warning should have been listed for that.
Yeah, that should have been a trigger content warning mentioned at the beginning or at that beginning of that chapter to let readers know that they were coming in for that, because it was brutal. It was really, really brutal, okay? And also kidnapping, because he ended up taking the girls as well. So that needed to be on page. So outside of me really enjoying this book as much as I did, that took me way out of it. I was like, okay, this is bad. It was really, really brutal on page. And it could be the thing of, you know, putting that on page so readers could understand the situation that Ever found herself in. But there still needed to be a content trigger warning on page for that, because it was bad. It was really, really bad. So that would honestly be my only issue with this book. Other than that, like Tama said, it was a non-complicated story. We really didn't have any issues between Ever and Luca. I mean, she was it for him and he was it for her, and that was pretty much it.
It was more of a character-driven story, not really plot-driven. So, and I'm a big fan of character-driven stories. Like, you ain't got to give me no plot. Just show me from beginning to end, the development from the beginning to end, the vibes. That's all I want. And this literally was about a Black woman getting loved on and her, I mean, to in her second chance at love. That's basically what it was. And
I really
enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was, you know, you could find yourself feeling hopeless coming out of that, especially, but it was good that Ever found somebody that she can, you know, lean on out, and not just with Luca, like, you know, like I said, with her mom, her stepfather, and Lyric, like, she found a whole new family in Luca's family and stuff like that. So it was good that she was able to, you know, come out of that situation and go into something good. But for the most part, this was a pretty good story. And I really didn't have any issues with it.
I enjoyed it. Shout out to Aries Read 2 and Cynthia. I don't know if Cynthia is really a big time reviewer, but I do get a lot of my book recommendations from her. And she recommended Mercy B about 2 years ago to me. And I read some of her older stuff. But now, like, her newest stuff, I see, like, she's done kind of, like, this brand change where, like, her covers are more softer and her stories feel like this big goddamn hug. Like, I am in a chokehold. I'm serious. Her stories are so sweet and it's like a big freaking hug. And I am literally in a chokehold when it comes to this woman's books. I got 20 spaces in the Kindle Unlimited. And all of them 20 is her books. I ain't reading shit else but Huffington books. I just finished a 3-part series today with the mayor and a stripper. I'm telling you, like, I am hooked. This is really her older stories, but I'm moving on to Half and Half now.
Yeah.
I really, really like her style. Yeah. Shout out to Ray Huffington.
Yeah, and that cover is...
The cover
is... And on that cover is pretty as hell, honey. Ooh, he pretty. He's
a passionate gangster, and he can cream my walls any day.
TMI, but okay.
Y'all gonna get this. But yeah, I really enjoyed that story. Wait, there was a little cringe scene in there with the dude when they was talking about he looked blacker than he did before. Like, it was cringe. Yeah, I was like,
Luca has this friend that he's been down with from, like, day one, who is his best friend, and he's going to be in Lyric's book. And him and the brother, now listen, Luca and his brother is yellow, okay? They were what we would call high yellow in this book, okay? And him and his brother were having a conversation saying that, you know, his brother said something to Luca, other thing, like, you know, every time we see him, he gets blacker. He didn't say darker. He was like, that nigga gets blacker every time I see him. And that was cringe. And I was like, ooh.
And I wonder if that was her way of introducing him, because of the next story. And his sister is, it's not, it's very cringe the way that it was introduced. Yeah, it's like,
but I wouldn't take anything from it but it being cringe. It's very cringe to see, to when you're reading it. It's like, ooh.
It's like, wait, you know? What? Where'd that come from? It just came out of nowhere. I was like, huh? But, I'm thinking that was a way of introducing him. And he is known, and from what I've, the conversations between Ever and Lyric, he has this, like, chocolate, like, smooth skin. Like, he just have this perfect skin. So I think that was her way of introducing him and letting us know that, hey, he's dark and lovely. He has this beautiful skin complexion. But the way that it, with, the way that it ran in the book, it was like cringe. But I'm thinking that that was the way of introducing us to letting us know that, hey, the next character, male character, is gonna be a dark skinned man.
Yeah, a dark skinned man. Yeah.
So,
which, you know, like I said, I think it's cringe to read on page, but I don't think you should take anything. For me, in my opinion, as a reader, I don't think you should take anything outside of it just being, you know, very just cringe when you see on page, especially when it's coming from two light skinned men, you know, saying something like
that. Yeah, and it was just in your face, like,
So, but yeah, when I saw that, I was like, ooh. Okay.
But I really enjoyed it. It was just so goddamn, it was just so freaking unproblematic and so freaking soft. And you just see a man being patient. And you know, sometimes us Black women, we don't get that second chance. We don't have a man that who's going to be patient with us. And I'm not speaking for everybody. Because... I'm just speaking for myself. Because I don't know the experiences of all Black women, but going from what I've been hearing, a lot of us go through the same thing, but it's just good to see a Black woman given a second chance when she's been through a tough first chance, and having somebody really take in her and her kids and treat them like their own. And, you know, it was refreshing.
Yeah, and it was good to see him so willing to take in her kids and be comfortable around her kids and have her kids be comfortable around her. Because even if you know, if you do immediately find, you know, a relationship after coming out of a situation like that, you still have to be careful, because again, you yourself are coming out of abuse. And then, you know, you just got to be careful around who you have your kids around all the time. And this isn't anything directed towards Gray Huffington's story. It's just in general, you know what I mean? It's just, you just have to really be careful, you know, especially, and these were small kids that she had, so you know, you just really have to be careful.
But
all in all, I like this book.
I liked it.
Read, and yeah,
I was swooning the whole time. I was like, yes, Luca. He's a compassionate gangster, you know.
Yeah, he was really.
He gonna give you some tough love, but he gonna love you, right? Because he was putting in her place. He was like, hey, you want to be a jump off or you want to be my woman? Pick a side, bitch. Pick a side. You know, because she was a little apprehensive, rightfully so. But he really ain't give her no space to be apprehensive. He was like, nah, man, this ship about to roll. What is you on it or not?
Right. But it's good that he eventually understood where she was coming from, because it's like, she just can't jump into no relationship. Like, you know, she know Lyric, but she don't know you, you know? So it's
exactly.
So yeah. But at the end of the day, Luca was a great read and I enjoyed it.
Me too.
And now we're going to move on to our next read, which is Hot Box by Ashley Nicole. Which is a story that is for the most part, I like this book. So we have, Akiro?
I think it was Cleo, the way that she's
Cleo. Ooh, I think it was y'all Cleo. With these damn character names. I'd be like, now come on.
The way that it was spelled, I think it was spelled Cleo.
So we have Cleo, who is freshly divorced.
Cleo has been released from the shackles.
She was released from the shackles of a loveless marriage, honey. And
Ramon really wanted to do missionary in bed. I really enjoyed the story.
No, I enjoyed the story. Her husband was ridiculous, but
Brian was going to get the paws put on him because he pissed me off this whole goddamn book.
You know what? I feel like she had way too much patience with him in this fucking story. He needed his ass beat earlier. Somebody needed to put hands on him in this story. But anyway, we have Cleo, who is fresh out of divorce and looking to move on with her life, but her ex won't let her because he's an old trifling heifer. And she meets her son's teacher. And
who she didn't know was her son's teacher.
Who she didn't know initially who was her son's teacher on the night that her and her friends were, her and her best friend, and that stank-ass cousin of her ex-husband's. They were out celebrating Cleo's divorce. And she met Ariel, which...
And Ariel gave her some. What the dude say?
That night, child. I was like, she gonna get it in the club.
Usher said, "I want to make love in this club," okay? And she meant that, okay? But yeah, so they kind of like had a little. This. I really enjoyed the message of this story.
Yes.
It moved me so much that, you know, I ain't sliding authors' DMs in a while, but I did slide in this author DM because I feel like this is the perfect example of how people think that because you with a man and he's not putting his hands on you and he financially takes care of you, that he is automatically a good man. You understand? But yet he's manipulating her and he's controlling her in different ways. So it's like, all in all, it's still abuse. It's still abuse. It's just not physical, but it's abuse. So this was different because you see every time she just wasn't happy. He wasn't really listening to her. He wasn't actually giving her what it was that she wanted and what she needed. Correct. You could tell that her love language is touch.
Yeah.
And she wasn't really getting that. Like the man, and she had a sex addiction because she wanted to have sex in the car.
What? Because she wanted to have sex outside of missionary
style. She wanted to have sex outside of the bedroom.
A sex addict because she wanted to have sex in different places. Or she just wanted to cuddle. Or she just wanted to just lay up with him.
He was a mama's boy to the T.
But also he emotionally, he did abuse her because he knew this her home life. He knew her family, like what she came from. And after I sat down and read that book, I said, you know, he did that on purpose. He got with her because he thought he was going to get the perfect woman that he could control. Because in reference to Cleo's family, her mother and father were so tightly in this girl life. This girl couldn't go to college. This girl was in college and her mother was walking her to college campus. Her parents were terrible parents. So Cleo grew up she wanted affection because her parents never showed affection towards her. So she wanted affection. She wanted like an affectionate relationship and she wasn't getting that with Brian. So, which was her ex-husband. So she got tired of that and she left. She just wasn't happy. She
left. And you know what? I applaud her. So many other women like I told her, this story resonated with me because I was in a situation like this. I feel like it was so crazy because I read so many books today of women who were being emotionally guarded or emotionally manipulated from men, where I feel like in my love language is words of affirmation and touch. You need to gas me up, bitch. Like, I know I fine as fuck, but you need to tell me I'm fine as fuck too, because that's what I need. And you also, I like public displays of affection. I like hugs. I like kiss. Grab a booty. You know, I ain't got much booty, but grab that shit, okay? Because pancakes is cakes too, bitch. So I want you to do this. And I've read so many stories this week about women who just wasn't getting what they wanted. And it was this one story I read where this woman was being called extra and doing too much. And I feel like that's what I've been experiencing in a lot of my relationships, where a lot of men say, oh, you do too much, you're extra, because I am requiring certain things that you're just not giving me. And, you know, I was married, I got divorced a few years ago, but my ex-husband was not physically abusive to me, but he did mentally and emotionally abuse me. So a lot of people say, oh, well, you leave him, he didn't beat on you, but he abused me. Like, it wasn't physical, but I got abused. You understand?
And a lot of people,
I resonated with the story.
And it's really crazy, because a lot of people think anything outside of like somebody putting their hands on you is an abuse.
Right.
And it's like, that's not right, because you, when reading the story, you knew this man was, he was verily emotionally, and he was verbally abusing her too.
Yes.
Because when she would voice her wants to him, he would basically cuss her out and tell her that she, like Tamar said, he would tell her that you're doing too much, or you want too much. You should just be happy with what I'm willing to give you. And what is wrong with asking your husband?
Your husband. She,
like, all this lady wanted was from him to be more physically involved in their marriage, and he refused. But I found it so funny that after this woman left him, divorced him, he tried so hard to ruin her outside relationship that she was starting to develop with Ariel, but he also tried to ruin the relationship that she had with their son. He was a grown ass, ridiculous ass man, because any man that sits up there and uses their child,
listen,
that man emotionally abused that child so bad.
Manipulated him too.
Manipulated him so bad, it was ridiculous. Literally whispering stuff in his boy ear, telling this boy, a 9-year-old boy, well, your daddy not in the house anymore, so now you got to be the man of the house. Get your ass out of here. Get out of here with all of that. And nice. It was sad. Only thing I wanted for Cleo in this book, she was, to me, I just feel like she was way too lenient with him. He was doing too much. He was showing up at her house unannounced, sitting outside her house, leaking through her windows and stuff like that. Listen.
I think Cleo was just done with him. And it was obvious that she was just literally done, and he was not.
No, but it got to the point where he needed to be handled, because it was ridiculous.
See, and that's the thing. This is my, like, if, like I said in my review, if I had to review this book on vibes, this would be 5 stars for me, because, yeah, like I said, I truly resonated with the story. I felt the author did a great job of portraying different forms of abuse and the reasoning why a woman left a marriage, because it's not always about cheating. It's not always about domestic abuse. There's also freaking emotional and freaking
verbal,
and she got emotionally, mentally, and verbally abused. And she also, this man refused to actually give her what it was that she was asking. Like, communication is number five in a relationship.
And that's what you have to
communicate, and you have to be able to reciprocate. It's give and take in a marriage. He looked like he was just taking.
Yep.
This woman couldn't even host Thanksgiving dinners at her house. Everything was by his mom. His mom, girl, fuck your mama. I'm sorry, I mean it like that, but I did mean it like
that.
No,
fuck that, because like, how were you so willing to withhold shit from your wife? But when your mama called, you dropped everything.
Like, and that's the thing, us as mothers, because I have a son, and I don't want to be that type of mother where I am being in a competition with my, my son's spouse or daughter, son, whatever. But I want us to be close-knit. You understand? I want, and I need to also understand my place in his life. Yes, I'm his mother, but I'm not his goddamn wife. or his husband. I'm not that.
But you already knew reading that story that Brian and his family were, they were them type of Negroes that you just, they thought they was better than everybody else in the family. They had a certain way of thinking. And it was just really, really bad. And I just, he worked my nerves in this book so bad because, and then him going to Ariel's boss, the principal at the school, making it seem like Ariel and Cleo were fucking around while they were married. And it was like, this woman left you, sir. This woman left you. Yeah. And you were trying to get this man fired because you a pussy.
Brian was on page a lot. It started to get a little irritating because I was like, why is he? I wanted, no, Brian, go away.
But, I needed for him to disappear.
But
and I'm talking about the kind of disappear where he was, I'm sorry, where he was unalived because he's getting on my goddamn nerves. I wanted somebody to kick his ass to meet his maker because he was ridiculous.
But like I said, 5 stars off of vibes alone. I love the storyline, the message behind it. It was an older woman, younger man, age gap.
Yes, anybody, I forgot to mention that.
And anybody who know me, I was Millie walking when I freaking realized this was, I was excited.
It was so good to see her finally get what she wanted from Ariel.
Yes.
All this woman wanted, because her childhood was so lacking in any type of emotional and physical response from her parents. All this woman wanted from the person that she chose to be with was some type of emotional, physical touch. And her ex-husband, that punk-ass Brian, bitch-ass Brian, refused to give it to her. But it was so good to see that Ariel, she was able to talk to Ariel. She was able to tell him what she wanted, what she needed. The man even started, noticing things she needed without her even asking. So it was good to see Cleo get what she wanted, because her explaining her, telling him about her childhood, that shit made me so fucking sad. Her parents would literally fucking leave her in the house. It was crazy. Like, it was wild. And it's wild because there's shit like this that actually happened. And it was good that Cleo grew enough to realize that she didn't need to stay in that marriage. Because you could, growing up like that, you could be the type of woman that can stay in an emotionally draining, abusive relationship for a long time. But it was good that she had enough sense to realize, this is not what I want. This is not what I want my child to grow up in. And we got, it got to the point where I didn't even want him to be around a little boy. That's how bad it got for me. Cause I was like, this Negro is getting on my nerves. I wanted him gone. But Brian was I agree with Tamar. Brian was so much on page. I do feel like sometimes it took the element of enjoying Cleo and Ariel on page. But the message in the story, 100% just a good ass message. Like, yes to women leaving relationships where they're not getting what they needed 100%. Because men get what they want 100%. Women should be able to get the same thing. So yes, loved it.
And like I said, the book started off really strong for me, mm-hmm. but as I read on, fall flat. And I think it had something to do with Brian just continuously coming up. I don't know if she lost her footing or anything, but I actually wanted a resolution of the storyline between Cleo and Brian's cousin Kendra.
She needed hands put on her.
She brought that shit up. You understand? She brought that shit up. And when her best friend said she was gonna talk to her, I really thought we was gonna get a conversation on page, because it seems like you just added her in for the dramatic effect, but you didn't really close it out. You didn't give us a resolution, like a conversation. Right. Why are you so messy? What did you tell him for? We're divorced. What is it? Like, we can't be friends anymore. You know, I expected something. And she really alluded to the fact that it was going to happen when the best friend said she was going to have a conversation with her, but nothing really happened because of that. Another issue, I wouldn't say issue, another thing I expected was, remember when Ariel and Brian had the conversation and Ariel was like, oh, you wanted my attention. You have my attention right now, right? Ariel and Brian had that conversation on Paige. I feel like we should have had a conversation between Brian and Cleo to discuss the fact that this man told his son that he could have said, fuck you to the teacher.
Yes.
I felt like that would have been a good opportunity for her to establish some type of boundaries on Paige. I feel like if you could have Ariel talk to Brian, you should have Cleo talk to Brian. That's her husband. And he also did some foul shit with that boy. We needed to see her establish some ground rules and some boundaries on Paige. And then the ending. The ending just came out of nowhere. It was so abrupt. I felt like a epilogue would have, you know, made it feel a little bit more...
Last chapter should have been the epilogue, honestly.
The last chapter was when they met
when they went to Ariel's father's property.
Yeah.
That should have been, for me, that should have been the epilogue. I do, and this is where I come in and I say that I feel like she was just way too lenient with Bryant. And I understand her not withholding Jeremiah, who was the little boy, from his father. But Brian was overstepping so many goddamn boundaries. It was bad. He just needed to be handled. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, I agree. I do feel like once we started getting towards the end, it started to like, the story started to tamper down because we were getting too much of Brian on Paige and I just needed him gone. And yeah, I think it would have benefited, I think it would benefit readers to have a conversation between her and Brian with her telling, especially after that last conversation with her finding out that Brian was manipulating their son to act some type of way towards Ariel. I mean, you told your 9-year-old son that his mother was sleeping with his teacher. Like, that was wild. So yeah, but that went into that thing of me saying that she was just way too lenient with him. She was firm with him and she was letting him know that whatever she did with her life now was none of his business. But we needed that final conversation between them because he was out of pocket so many times. It was ridiculous. It was crazy. But this man, even though this woman didn't want him anymore, refused to even talk to him at some time, he still felt he had some type of control over this woman and she no longer wanted to be with him. It was weird. It was fucking crazy. I mean, he was fucking stalking her.
Yes, he was. He was showing up. Woo.
He was showing up at her house unannounced. She be in the house sleep. He's stalking around her house, looking in her windows. That is some sick shit. But that is just another form of abuse. That is just another form of abuse. Like, it's, oh my God. I need somebody to put hands on him in this book. Like, really, really bad. I needed somebody to put hands on him because he was out of pocket. He was so out of pocket. But he just, yeah, he was too much. But yeah, girl.
Yeah. Like, a lot of storylines should have been completed. At least two of those storylines should have been completed. The ending just was too abrupt for me. But overall, I really enjoyed the story. I feel like Ashley Nicole did a great job. And it was a different story because you always see these stories about women getting cheated on and women getting abused. But this one, there was no cheating. There was no abuse.
It was just
she got tired of being second to everybody else in her marriage. She was unhappy. And we need to normalize writing.
Mama, that's what it seemed like.
We need to normalize writing about women leaving even and when she's not happy. It don't have to be cheating. It don't have to be nothing else. She ain't happy. Boom, bye. So I respect that book.
No, I Honestly, this is the first book that I honestly just came across that. And when me and Tamer were talking online, I was telling her I used to follow this chick on YouTube a while back, and she was explaining the same kind of thing. Like, she divorced her husband because she just wasn't, like, mentally, she just wasn't in the marriage anymore. It wasn't nothing he did. No, he wasn't physically abusive. But at some point in time, she realized that this man wasn't fulfilling the needs that she wanted, and she just wanted out, and she left. And yeah, that need to be normalized of women just, listen, a man could be financially taking care of you, doing everything that you think as a man that he should be doing. But if he's not there for you 100%, like you're there for him 100%, then what is, you know, like what they say, what's the reason? What is the reason? And this was an amazing story plot that she did, because, yeah, it's just, it really was just Cleo just taking her power back and just realizing that she didn't need that.
Yeah. Like, and finding everything that she needed in Ariel. And Ariel was, I feel like the sex scenes was a little tame.
I wonder because that big old lanky, that tall old lanky man with that big old dick, girl, you could write some scenes.
It wasn't as raunchy and descriptive as I know Ashley Nicole can get.
Yeah, because I've read a couple of Ashley
Nicole. Yeah, she can get down and dirty. So this book was pretty tame.
But I think for the storyline, yeah. I can see the sex in this book being tame, because like you said, at the end of it all, the bottom line of it, we're getting a woman that is pretty much just taking her power back and realizing that she's not going to be second to anybody, not even her own marriage. She's not going to be second to it, and she deserves to be put first above all things. And kudos to you, girl. I was here for it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it. I liked the story.
Shout out to Ashley.
Yes.
I'm waiting for Ashley. Hi, how you doing? Hope all is well in your neighborhood. Hope all is well with the Mason family. And I'm just waiting for Taylor and the last two cousins with the big dick energy we always talk about on page. Yeah, let me know what's up with that, Ashley.
So you just segue into that, right?
You're blessed. You're blessed. Be blessed.
Woo!
Yes.
Well, but anyway, we're going to end it.
We done.
Because we're going on 20 minutes and that's it. That's as long as we're going to go. Okay. We'll be back next week. We're talking about some more books. And of course, always book.
The bullshit. That's my favorite part. The bullshit.
The bullshit, honey. Because
I get to talk shit. Y'all know me. Y'all make it talk shit.
Well, thank y'all so much. We appreciate it.
We're
always checking in, listening, tapping it in. We love it. So until the next one.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Hey y'all, it's Sharonda. If you're at the end of this episode, well, we thank you so very much. Be sure y'all following us on our socials, Instagram and Twitter at Brazenly Shady. Check out the book or books we discussed in this episode. The deets are in the show notes. And until the next bout of shenanigans, we'll talk to y'all then.